welcome to another Emmy edition of the Water Cooler Podcast. I'm your host, Clarence Moy, and today I'm bringing you an interview with Archie Panjabi, the Emmy-winning co-star of two major HBO spring projects, I Know This Much Is True and Run. In I Know This Much Is True, Panjabi plays Dr. Patel, a therapist to Mark Ruffalo's Dominic. And here in this podcast, she talks about the actor-driven set created by Derek Cianfrance, which was, of course, a necessary environment, sort of given the intensely emotional moments required by Cianfrance's script, and, of course, based on the acclaimed novel by Wally Lamb. In Run, she creates a completely opposite character, with Fiona being a playfully unhinged presence in the HBO comedy. And here she will contend for guest actress in a comedy series, while in I Know This Much Is True, she will contend for supporting actress in a limited series. So sit back, relax, and enjoy my conversation with Archie Panjabi, co-star of HBO's limited series I Know This Much Is True and comedy series Run, which both air Sunday nights on HBO. And make sure you subscribe to the Water Cooler Podcast if you don't already. And as we head into the heart of the 2020 Emmy season, we'll be featuring more interviews with high-profile Emmy contenders, and that includes many more cast members from I Know This Much Is True. So please stay safe and enjoy this Water Cooler Podcast exclusive.
Hi, Clarence.
Hi, Archie. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. Hopefully you're sheltering in place well and you're not going too insane.
something well. Thank you. I hope you're the same.
I'm doing better. I'm doing well. Thank you. I've always been doing fine. I don't know why I said better, but anyway.
Where are you based, Clarence?
I'm based in North Carolina on the East Coast.
Okay, nice. I'm in LA at the moment.
Yes, I was just in LA. Well, not just. I mean, it seems like it's been a couple of weeks, but I was out there for the Golden Globes and for the Oscars, so it was...
Lovely night.
I'm just hearing now that apparently the virus was there while I was there, so...
Well, my neighbor actually caught it, and funnily enough, he barely goes out, and he caught it from attending the event that Thomas Hanks attended, and he barely, goes out that much, so you just can't tell.
Insane.
Just don't know when and where. I know, it's a bit crazy.
But anyway, thank you for talking to me today. I'm a huge fan, and I really loved your work both in I Know This Much Is True as well as something completely different in Run. So, just a little bit of a background refresher here. So, as I was looking, doing some research, I noticed you have a degree in management studies. So, why did you not pursue a degree associated with your eventual career of acting, and how did you parlay that degree into an acting career?
Well, I always wanted to act from a very young age, but I was very aware of what I foresaw as being limited opportunities because there weren't really that many people who looked like me on screen when I was growing up. And whilst it didn't bother me too much, my parents were insistent upon education. It was a big thing for them, but as it is with most parents. And so when I did my A-levels, I just missed out on the grades of wanting to study sociology, which was my first choice. And then I got into Brunel to do management, which I thought I wouldn't enjoy, but I thoroughly enjoyed the degree and felt, even after leaving the university, it helped me with my career in a bizarre way. And I probably in a way of realizing like how short a product life cycle you have as an actor. I guess that's the main thing it taught me, having studied a lot of marketing. And so I thought, once I get into this business, I better make something happen because it goes so quickly.
Right. Absolutely. Well, you're taking good advantage of it because you've been, I was just looking at your resume, and it's just the sheer volume of titles and the number of years you've been on long-term TV shows. It's astonishing.
You make me sad. I'm starting to feel old now.
No, don't feel old. No,
I look back, it feels odd because it feels like yesterday I got my first job, so it is odd sometimes when I look at my growing list of credits on my MVB. I was like, God, it feels like yesterday.
Yeah.
I just started.
Well, it feels like yesterday when you won your Emmy for The Good Wife. What was that experience like winning it the first time out of the gate with your first nomination?
It was very exciting. It was so unexpected. And you know, often tell the story of how when I walked down the red carpet, nobody knew who I was and they didn't really want to take my picture. And it was a bit, you know, it was such a dream to be invited to the Emmys and then suddenly to just go completely unnoticed. So I was convinced that was a sign that I hadn't a hope in hell of winning. So when I won, it was a wonderful surprise.
Well, it was well deserved. So looking at your work in I Know This Much Is True, I recently talked to Derek. And he was talking about filming that first session with Dominic. And that was, I think, if not the first scene, it was one of the first scenes filmed for the limited series. How do you jump into something that intense and that focused and that emotional on day one?
I had met Derek a couple of times before doing that scene, and when they told me that scene was first, I was surprised because it is one of the longest scenes in the entire series, probably, mm-hmm. or at the time it's been edited. But I was confident because the great thing about Derek and knowing his work is he's very calm, he's very focused, and he's very confident in the actors that he chooses to work with. And knowing that Mark is such a magnificent actor, I felt reassured. I was still nervous. But I don't know, sometimes being thrown in the deep end, there was no rehearsal, there was no marks. Mark hadn't even been into the room. So not only did I know where Mark wasn't going to sit, Mark didn't know where he was going to sit. But I think sometimes, you know, throwing actors in the deep end like this, and you just rely on your gut, can surprisingly work. You don't know what's going to happen and you just follow your instinct.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, in terms of, you know, obviously a lot of this is in the book, this is all in the script, but what kind of research did you do to be able to accurately portray a therapist?
I have a couple of friends who are therapists, so they were very honest with me about their process. I also did a couple of sessions just to get a feel of what it was like on the other side. And, you know, what I learned is there was a sort of a general, the general theme was with all of them is the importance of listening and keeping calm and not really saying much, getting them to talk and listen to what they don't say. But then I also realized that ultimately, you know, each therapist had their own style. And it was about that style was also dependent on the kind of person that came into the room. And so after spending a lot of time and researching it, I kind of stored all of that in my head and decided on the day that I would just literally react to what Mark was giving me in the scene, and that I was there to counsel Mark. And that's the beauty of working with Derek, is he does everything to create such a real environment. You know, you don't feel like there's a crew around there, they blend into the furniture, you feel like you're fully immersed into this role. And again, you know, I just ended up going off what Mark was giving me and taking Derek's direction. Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that, of course, as I've said before a lot, you know, this is all following the script and which followed the book. But one of the things that I found particularly fascinating is that Dr. Patel doesn't shield anything from Derek. She doesn't hide her opinions. She asks very probing, very direct questions. I've never been through therapy personally, but why do you think that Dr. Patel doesn't take a softer tone with Dominic, given that he is obviously in such a heightened emotional state?
I think this is one of the things that drew me to the character. There is something very calm about her, but there's also something very bold about her, and she is unafraid to, you know, cross the line, as she does in that very first episode. I think when Dominic comes into the room, I think she instantly, you know, she's a very experienced psychologist, and she can see all the signs of somebody that is deeply frustrated and carrying the world on his shoulders. And she's there with the intention of discussing his brother and updating him on his brother, Thomas. Mm-hmm. But throughout the whole conversation, she senses this is somebody who is in desperate need of help. And I think from the moment she walks in and she even asks him the question about the tea, she realizes she's got to be a little bit firm with him in order to get him to talk. He's almost made his decision upon her before entering the room. And so I think Patel has probably dealt with a lot of men like that and decides to put him straight and just bluntly ask the questions. And I feel, you know, she's kind of a mother figure for him. And I felt that that attitude of hers actually gets him to talk mm-hmm. and gets him to open up, almost like maybe that's what he's missing from his life, you know, a strong woman that questions him bluntly. And yeah. So I think he, you know, he finds some comfort in that.
Yes, there's a lot of that in the series, particularly with, you know, his relationship with I can't remember her name, but the Rosie O'Donnell's character. So yes, similar dynamic yes, there, where he's, you know, he's really looking for that that strong mother role.
Yes, it's what he craves for, I think, and what he misses. But, you know, for somebody so reticent to open up about their feelings, he opens up to Dr. Patel yes. within that very first meeting. And so I think there's a strength about that character, a power, that there's a slight fear on his part that he just, you know, he's not even aware of it. He just opens up in a way that he's never done before.
Yeah, and after being, you know, shamed as a child, or Thomas being shamed as a child by Ray for embracing the feminine, you know, embracing a softer side of a personality, you know, it's that.
Absolutely. And she's also quite different from everybody else he meets. You know, she's of Indian origin mm-hmm. and the office is very calm with very soft colors. And, you know, she's offering him tea. When was the last time somebody offered him a cup of tea in a cozy room? So I think everything about that whole room and the way that Derek shot it was to make the audience almost like have a break from the fast pace that, you know, up until that point happens in episode one.
You know, that's interesting. It's a good segue to my next question, which is, without giving too much away, because I think this is going to post before the finale, it'll actually post well before the finale, but in the finale, there's a scene where Dominic is having an emotional moment against Ray, basically at the wake. And the way that it's framed is you're in the background, you don't have lines in the scene, but you're participating in the scene. Your presence is felt in the scene because you're framed between Dominic and the door frame. Why do you think Derek chose to shoot it that way? I'm assuming you remember that scene, but, you know.
I think it's the funeral, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. It's when they come back from Thomas's funeral.
Correct. Yep.
I think he's aware, I mean, I haven't seen it, so I don't know how he's cut it, but from the best of my knowledge, I feel that there is, you know, there is a presence about Dr. Patel where even if she is in the back of the room, I think for Dominic, there's some degree of strength lurking in the background when Patel is around. Mm-hmm. You know, they're two complete strangers, but there is just something that happens from the first day they both meet each other, that he looks at her, like I said, a mother figure or a strength or something that helps him. And so I wonder whether he shot that in that way, that she's in the background and he's aware of it, even though she's, you know, standing through the doorway. And I can't remember what happens at the end of that scene, but and I think everybody leaves, don't they? Everybody
they
leaves
do.
The house because he has a, yes.
Everyone
yeah.
leaves and there's...
And she says to him, come to see me. I don't know if that's still there, but on the version we did, she says to him, come and see me. And he does go to see her. And,
yes.
and obviously that scene and quite a big, you know, the big change happens in that scene.
Right. So as you've mentioned, you know, this is very heavy material, and the way that Derek films it, the way that Derek and Mark interact with each other and you interacting with them is very immersive. Did you ever find it difficult to sort of put the material down at the end of the day, or was it just, you know, when the camera stopped, that's the role, and now I'm going to walk away and be my own person again?
I feel even when work isn't immersive, for some actors like myself, I can't speak for other people, it's always with you, and it's... every role becomes immersive. This is obviously to a much bigger degree because Derek creates an environment that sort of encourages that immersion even more. But I feel because Dr. Patel is, you know, she's a psychologist and she's very calm and very... I certainly didn't have to take the weight that poor Mark had to take
right.
of both Dominic and Thomas. I feel this character was easy to go home with. Mm-hmm. Because she was, you know, she was playing a professional in this job. She didn't really get deeply involved. There wasn't anything overbearing for her to take home with her. So it was an easy character to live with.
Right, because she could go home and have some tea and you know, just be very at
peace. Absolutely. I mean, going into that office for me, going into Dr. Patel's office, it was like my own personal office. So I felt like he had captured my spirit and my energy when they designed that office. And so it didn't feel like it was too different from my own environment.
That's fantastic. So shifting over to run, obviously this is a very different role, not only from, I know this much is true, but a very different role for you. Fiona just seems, when you see her, she just feels so unhinged. Do you take it that way?
I read the story and I just love this idea that here's a woman that comes in the middle of two people that are reuniting after 17 years and is determined to separate them and goes to such extreme measures. I thought, wouldn't it be great to get my teeth into such a role like this? I was half excited and half nervous, and I thought, you know what, let's do it. It's a great team of people to be working with, so let's put myself in the deep end and let's do it. And, you know, I was blessed. We had a really good director and a very good creative that would sometimes in scenes, you know, push me a lot more. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'm fearful of being too animated, and just my style is a lot more controlled.
Yes.
But I feel in this, I found a new character, you know, a complete new character, partly to do obviously with the nature of that character and partly to do with being given really good direction and notes to just fully let go. So for me, it was a great experience, not only working with the team, but just learning more about myself as an actress.
And it's a great way to introduce or nearly introduce the character. I don't think it was the very first scene that you filmed, but it was a great way to introduce the character when Merritt Weaver tries to take off the blouse and she gets caught. And then she's like, my boobs are hanging out. Yes, they are, but they're lovely.
That wasn't the first scene, actually, no, because it's obviously a big deal for Merritt to sit there doing a scene like that. Right. It was fun to do. I think Vicky was very keen for these two women to actually get on, which I loved the idea of, even though she's there to split them apart. Fiona can't actually help liking Ruby's character.
Right.
And I think that's what makes it quite unique, because you're not sure whether she likes her or she hates her, but I think she does connect her in a way, and I think that starts off, you know, with that first scene.
So
a very intimate scene.
Yes, absolutely. So what you know, what motivates Fiona? I mean, I've seen four episodes, so I haven't seen the rest of the series yet, but so far, you know, does she love Billy? Is it just about the money? Because the last time we see her, she's jumped off the train with the big bag of money. Is it about losing her job? Is, you know, what is it, all combination of all of the above? What sort of motivates her?
Well, in the very first episode, she has that first scene that she has with Billy in the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And she does say that, you know, I've given up everything. And she's worked extremely hard. She says she's, you know, been running the company, even though he's, you know, the head of the company. She's been running it, in effect. I feel she's given up so much, and they're at a really good crossing point where they are doing very well. And he just wants to throw all of this away, which means it's going to affect her life. What she's worked so hard for suddenly is being thrown down the drain. And obviously he's fronting all these talks, so she can't run it herself, and mm-hmm. It's not like he's replaceable. So I think for her, life is, you know, there's a lot at stake for her to lose. And she's just determined for that not to happen. I do think there is a path to the two of them, but I think she's more driven by him, you know, giving up his job than an actual relationship. Or who knows?
So she, the last, you know, that I have seen her, she, like I said, she jumps off the train with the bag of money. Mm-hmm. you know, without, you know, do you know what happens to her next, or is, you know, does she continue?
Absolutely.
Okay, so she continues in the story.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, she continues for a bit, put it that way.
Okay. Excellent. Well, I'm looking forward to finding out all about it. So I think those are all the questions I had for you today. So thank you so much for the time. This has been a real pleasure, and I hope you continue to keep well.
Thank you very much. Stay safe, and lovely chatting with you, Clarence. Take care now.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.